This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
510, if Durant can't handle a perfect situation like the Dubs in the Bay Area, then New York is the last place he go. 510, different one. Those who can't embrace Durant believe the ill-found narrative that he's a claim jumper. He spent 9 years with OKC, Seattle. All I'm saying is, this is a topic. It's worth discussing. I do believe that. And I couldn't blame a Warriors fan for not wanting to totally embrace a guy that hasn't been willing to commit long-term. I mean, isn't that the ultimate sign of, I'm with y'all? We don't have to worry about Steph Curry. He was on a bargain basement price because of the ankle issues for that contract he signed a few years ago. And then when it came time to max him out, of course, he's a two-time MVP, unanimous MVP, face of the franchise. Maybe the best player in the NBA, of course you're going to max him out. And it wasn't even a consideration of that. I think Klay Thompson, it's just a formality. Boy, I sure hope it is, let me tell you that. I think it's just a formality that in the offseason they'll max him out. But it's just different with KD for all the reasons that I laid out. 651 wants to know what's going on with Quinn Cook. I agree. And I've been a Quinn Cook guy, man. I banged the Quinn Cook drum. I wanted more playing time from Quinn Cook. He's just in a slump right now. And I don't think Kirk firmly believes he can really rely on him. But it's a good question. Let's see. 415. KD has delivered everything as expected, but he came to the party late. Like Draymond Green said, we don't need you. All right. But he knew that when he came here that this team was already ready-made, right? He knew that. I said when the Warriors got Kevin Durant that adding KD was a luxury, not a necessity. I was talking with John Dickinson on Warriors This Week last Saturday, and we were addressing if Kevin Durant left the Dubs, do I feel like the Warriors would still be the favorite to win the NBA title next year? I'd still put my money on him if I still had Steph, Klay, Draymond, Iguodala. And then maybe you spend what money you have left, and I know it wouldn't be a whole hell of a lot, but bring in a reasonable wing, maybe like a Rudy Gay, somebody like that. Absolutely. Absolutely, I still feel like they would be the favorite. I think part of that would depend on where Anthony Davis goes and where Kevin Durant goes, but I'm not betting against the Dubs. Why would I? I watch the NBA. All right, let's hear from DeMarcus Cousins, because the boogie angle in all this is very relevant. I'll give the Warriors all the credit in the world for trying to get DeMarcus Cousins up to speed and integrate him into the lineup. He's coming off a very debilitating injury. And I mentioned the stats, especially the last couple of games, have not been good. DeMarcus is frustrated. Kerr can't have him out there when it's time to close out the game. And here's a guy that, you know, throughout his career, oh, is he a 22-10 guy? He's used to being a closer. He's used to being an integral part of a team. But again, much like with Kevin Durant, he knew what he was getting into when he came here. So did DeMarcus Cousins, right? I mean, he knew. This was a year to rehab his body and rehab his image. Maybe you go win a title and show the rest of the NBA that you're worthy of getting a long-term contract. Here's DeMarcus, though, on his confidence and whether or not it's wavering.
You know, confidence isn't there, obviously. You know, I'm going to keep working at it, and eventually it'll come along for me. It's definitely frustrating. A lot of shots aren't falling for me. You know, just keep working at it. There's no doubt in my mind it'll come around to me, hopefully sooner than later. But like I said, this is the process. And Rick was training. He's preached this to me from the time I stepped foot here. It's going to be good days, and it's going to be a lot of bad days through this process. So obviously I'm in the bad days right now. You know, with every storm and sunshine at the end. So.
All right, there you go. Sounds like Boogie's staying positive. By the way, that courtesy of Anthony Slater. Anthony Slater is going to join us at 11 o'clock. This is 95.7 The Game. Ryan Covey with you. By the way, you are listening to 95.7 The Game. KGMZ FM and HD1. KGMZ San Francisco, aradio.com sports station. Kurt's in Oakland. You're on 95.7 The Game. Good morning. Happy Sunday.
Good morning. Happy Sunday to you, too. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it, man.
The dilemma with Quinn Cook is he's too small. He can't defend. And he relies on his shooting, which when he's going, he's a decent shooter. But when he struggles with the shooting, everything else falls into place. And I don't really see him as a true point guard. That's the problem. He doesn't know how to look up the court when he's running the fast break.
Yeah.
He will defer to Durant and Durant only when he gets the chance. But he just doesn't look down court. There's a bunch of wide open lanes that he could have thrown the ball up ahead, but he never does. You know, That's why Sean Livingston is still the number one backup to Steph, because he looks down the court. He sees everything else and doesn't panic if he gets trapped.
Yeah, no, that's a good call.
You know, I feel like Cook is the stopgap until Patrick Nunn is ready down in the G League to take his spot. That's really how I see Quinn Cook.
All right, fair enough. Appreciate the call. Thanks for checking in. Kurt in Oakland at 888-957-9570. And there has been a precipitous drop-off with Quinn Cook in his offensive production. The month of February, he's shooting 25% from the floor, albeit it's not the hugest sample size in the world, but the reason that sample size is getting smaller and smaller is because Kurt can't put him out there. And look, there's been times where Quinn Cook has risen to the forefront. I mean, think about how well he played late in the year last year when Steph Curry got hurt. He has given this team valuable minutes. And look, you don't need Quinn Cook to be all world. I mean, let's face it. If we're going to rank Golden State Warriors in order of importance, I think Quinn Cook would probably be 9th or 10th on the list. But I also think, and this was a text that came in a little while ago about there's something not right with the locker room. The Warriors have their stars, but there's a little bit of lack of cohesion. And this texture from the 925 asked aloud maybe whether it was the bench. And you think about the bench of Warriors from years gone past. I mean, whether it's Brandon Rush, Leandro Barbosa, Mo Spates, as recently as Zaza, or David West, who, to me, David West, like, I hold him in a very special place in my heart. Even JaVale McGee. When he would come in, he'd give him a spark, get that little lob jam working, and get that little inside-out game going. The bench this year, to me, seems to lack a little bit of character. There's been a little bit of a disconnect. And this is a byproduct of, hey, look, the Warriors are deep in the luxury tax. There's only so much that they're going to spend on their bench that they can spend. And that's a product of having a very top-heavy roster. I mean, top-heavy in the sense that, you know, you've got five all-stars in the starting lineup, so that's the other side of it. How deep can you possibly expect a team to be? I do think when they're going right, the guys that they have should suffice. Like, we've seen flashes from Jarebko this year when he's been locked in. He's looked terrific. He's been, at times, look a whole hell of a lot better than, three-point shooter last year. Former King, thank you, Omri Caspi. God, it's right at the tip of my tongue. You know, the dude that wouldn't shoot. You know, that dude. Jarebko, McKinney, all these guys have had flashes, but obviously the key in the NBA is to be consistent game in and game out and for 82 games and ultimately the postseason. Let's hear one more from DeMarcus Cousins. And I don't know when it will happen, and I don't know if it will happen this year, and I'll go so far as say I don't even think that they need DeMarcus Cousins to be at 100% to win an NBA title this year, because he's not going to be 100%. This injury is just too serious. It's too debilitating. But even DeMarcus at 70% in the right matchup should suffice, just because he's just so damn big, takes up so much space, and he still is a threat to score. That should be enough. But as far as, like, when's DeMarcus going to be at full speed? I got news for you, Warriors fan. Not wearing this uniform. Not this year. Here's Boogie, courtesy Anthony Slater, on when he might be back to his full self, according to his timeline.
It's tough. I mean, obviously, I'm in, like, a gray area when it comes to that. You know, trying to get back to being myself, and also just knowing guys are coming at me. Nobody in this league is going to feel sorry for me, and I know that. You know, I'm going to go out and battle as much as I can and do what I can. But, you know, it still is a process for me. But it's no excuse. So. Yeah, it's frustrating as hell. But, you know, it's part of it. So, you know, every dog has his day.
There you go, DeMarcus Cousins. And think about this. DeMarcus Cousins, he's got a lot riding on this right now. I'm talking dollars. I'm talking kind of rehabbing the DeMarcus Cousins image and everything I've heard. He's been a terrific teammate. He's been a glue guy in that locker room. And you hope that that would continue. And like he said, they're hopefully, you know, every dog has his day, and hopefully those days will be in the postseason. Let's get up to the coach. Let's blow the whistle up into V-Town. You're on 95.7. What's up, Coach? Good morning. Happy Sunday.
Hey, good morning. Good morning. You're doing a great job. I was listening to you as I drove on the freeway.
Thanks, man.
I think the Warriors miss more than anything else is JaVale McGee or JaVale McGee type of player. They need an athletic center who focuses on blocking shots and you can throw the lob. The lob can only be thrown now to Iguodala when he comes off the bench or Kevin Durant. You can't throw the lob to Draymond or anyone else. JaVale McGee played a very pivotal role. I mean, because you could always throw that lob when they saturate the outside for Steph, Clay, and Kevin. So you can't do that with DeMarcus Cousins, and he's not a shot blocker. He's not going to close down the key the way a JaVale McGee type player would do.
I beg to differ to a certain extent. I think, and it'll take a little bit of time, but DeMarcus Cousins is a reasonable shot blocker. I mean, he's, you know, he's not the Stifle Tower, but he had four blocks last night. He's averaging two blocks a game this month. And since he's come back, I think he's gotten better in that respect. Had three against Miami the other night, a couple other games with double digit blocks against the Lakers and the Spurs. And keep in mind, this has been with him until recently on a minutes restriction. So I think in that respect, his defense of the paint is only going to get better as he gets healthier. As far as the lob jam, look, what makes DeMarcus dangerous is he's got a post game. It's not where it was before. Maybe it's not, you know, in the lob jam sense, but the thing that makes DeMarcus dangerous is he can play inside and outside. I think the only reason that this narrative exists for you, Coach, and correct me if I'm wrong, it's because DeMarcus hasn't shown us like the old DeMarcus yet. He looks a little slow right now, and he looks like he's still getting up to speed.
Very true, very true. His lateral movement is not very good, so that's why they isolate him in pick and rolls.
Oh, yeah.
Guards. And, you know, that's a problem. I'm glad to see Kerr give Jordan Bell a chance last night. He showed what he could do being an athletic. The league has gotten a lot more athletic, and the Warriors need to catch up. So I'm glad to see Jordan Bell get some game, and I don't know why he did not play McKinney last night. They could have used his athleticism.
All right, good stuff. Appreciate the call, Coach. Have a good one, and thanks for the kind words. And to that end, we will hear some sound from Coach Kerr coming up in the next segment regarding the spacing and the usage of DeMarcus Cousins. And I agree. Coach's assessment was spot on. The Rockets abused Cousins in the pick and roll, and they're forcing him to switch and forcing him to get out on the perimeter and try and cover guards. When Cousins is healthy, he can do it. But right now, not so much. And I think the Rockets, that was their game plan coming in. And Capella, while he's still getting up to speed, Capella's a guy that wants to move around and make the opposition work. And I just think this isn't something that can't be fixed. It's not something that won't get better over time. But right now, it's definitely an issue. And that's why Jordan Bell was on the floor closing last night instead of DeMarcus Cousins. Will this become an issue going forward? We shall see. Keep it right here on 95.7 The Game on a Sunday morning. We want to hear from Steve Kerr talking about the state of the team right now. Coach Kerr, when the Warriors lose games like this, I almost think big picture, macro view, Kerr almost likes it because it's teachable moments. When they win ugly like they did against the Kings the other night, he might sell the message, but clearly, I mean, think about how Draymond said how bad the practice was Friday. Obviously, it wasn't message received. When you take an L, though, that's something different because then it's, hey, we lost. So, obviously, it didn't work last night. You can't say, oh, Coach, well, yeah, but we still won, dot, dot, dot. No, no, not last night. So, some teachable moments here from Steve Kerr. We'll get into that. We'll hear from the Warriors head coach. And then we'll also talk a little Giants baseball coming up. Bottom of the hour, Jessica Kleinschmidt. Keep it right here on a Sunday morning. What's up, y'all? It's Ryan Covey on 95.7. The Game.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
Get up, get rolling. It is Sunday morning. This is not raining anymore, so there's that. It's so cold out there, though. I got up early today. I was chomping at the bit. See, I'm getting old, so I was in bed early last night. My little dog Knuckles was like, wait, what? We're shutting it down? It was like 9 o'clock. It's like, seriously? It's bedtime? And he was like, all right, let's do it. Get that blanket over here. 888-957-9570. It is Ryan Covey with you on a Sunday morning. We will shift gears in a hot moment. We'll talk a little Major League Baseball with Jessica Kleinschmidt, NBC Sports. Price Watch 2019. Yada, yada, yada. Although Bob Nightingale dropped a tweet last night. Bryce Harper expected to sign a 10-year deal. I'm paraphrasing here. Expected to sign a 10-year deal maybe as early as Monday. How about this? Breaking news on 95.7 The Game, ladies and gentlemen. You guys ready? This per Ryan Covey from 95.7 The Game. Bryce Harper expected to play in majors in 2019. Boom. Print it. Let's run with it. See if we can get me on a couple of the talk shows. Harper's going to play ball in 2019. I have it on good authority that Bryce Harper... he's going to... Thank you. Exactly. Ladies and gentlemen, Bryce Harper is going to play baseball in 2019. And it's going to be in the majors. And they're going to pay him for it. Yep, they're going to. You're welcome. Good Lord. Whether or not this speaks to the ills of Major League Baseball, I couldn't tell you. I mean, yeah, it's losing a little popularity. Yeah, they're incessantly trying to tinker with it to make the game faster, to appeal to the younger demographic. Sorry, millennials, I ain't trying to smash on you. But whether Bryce Harper signs in December or March, in the grand scheme of things, really doesn't matter. As long as it doesn't go into the regular season. I mean, hitters, they need like 2 weeks to get ready. Harper will be fine. And as a Giants fan, if you're out there, at least it tells you that the fact that the Giants were making a play to get him and trying to attract him and doing their due diligence, shall I say, to bring him to the squad, that should make you feel pretty good. The problem is so many things in life are about timing. And with a new president of baseball ops, with the team being where they're at right now from a competitive standpoint, which is not very competitive at all, with a manager who won 3 World Series titles in 5 years now, announcing this will be his swan song, his final campaign, with a lot of the guys on this squad that were a part of the run, especially in 12 and 14, and now, let's face it, on the back nine of their career, the Bryce Harper timing isn't ideal because, realistically, the Giants need to rebuild. They do. But if you have the chance to acquire a guy like Bryce Harper, I think you kind of got to do it. So we'll talk to Jessica Kleinschmidt in just a few minutes. I just wanted to, before I go off on a Giants tangent, and I do have the propensity to go off on tangents, so you guys got to watch me. I'm talking to the fellas on the other side of the glass, John and Nash. Sometimes you got to reel me in, bro, because I'll just start talking. It's kind of what I do. But I want to get back to the Dubs before we get to Jessica Kleinschmidt. And I mentioned Steve Kerr and the deployment of DeMarcus Cousins and how the Warriors were attacked by Houston last night and the way that they went right after DeMarcus Cousins. Let's hear from Kerr and then we'll react. Go ahead.
You know, we have different ways we can play, different actions, different plays. I thought we got back into the game late first half with playing faster, playing more open. We didn't do anything specifically in the third quarter to try to keep him on the perimeter. We're just playing.
All right, there you go, Steve Kerr. And I don't think Kerr spends a whole lot of time drawing up plays because, like, I don't feel like he thinks he needs to. There's a lot of trust and a lot of responsibility placed on the players, and you earn that kind of trust, you know, when, like, you win all those titles. And Kerr, to me, while the system that he's brought to this team, you know, obviously since taking over from Mark Jackson, you know, the whole, like, revolutionizing basketball in the modern era, all that, there's less responsibility on Kerr day-to-day to be an X's and O's guys as there is to be, like, the, I don't want to call him the father figure, but the leader, right? Making sure everything's hunky-dory. Knowing when to kick a little ass and know when to give somebody a little pat on the butt. That's what makes Kerr, Steve Kerr. And you know, the fact he's so approachable, and obviously he's got the respect of his players and all that. But X's and O's wise, I don't think that Steve Kerr's job on a day-to-day basis is too much of a grind. And I think he would be the first to tell you that. And isn't that what makes Steve Kerr so great? His heart just being this open book? Because that's what I'll tell you. I like to, I try and be that way. I do. I'm just a sports fan, baby. And these are just my opinions. You don't have to like them. I bet you do, though. Let's go to my man. So this is Warrior in Oakley. Does he want to talk about the Warriors? You got to come up with a better handle, Warrior. It's all good. You're good, though. I love you. What's up, Warrior?
Yeah, I'm the Warrior, and I'm currently residing in Oakley. Hey, listen. I normally don't call in on the weekends. I like to enjoy listening to the show,
sure.
Take it in,
yeah.
See what the fan who's working Monday through Friday has to say. But when I heard somebody say it about playing Jordan Bell more and he looked good, Are you kidding me? I don't want to say regurgitated because I almost physically threw up. The guy is awful. He has been awful all season and a half. You can't play 4-5. You can't play 4-5, not even if you're the owner of the Sacramento Kings. You can't play 4-5. Twice last night, he had the ball within 2 feet of the basket. One time, he could have tipped it in, But he chose to tip it out. He should have gotten an assist. The guy has the body of Dan Pastorini and the basketball increment of Leon Spinks, if I could go back to yesteryear.
Wow.
You can't play Jordan Bell. You can't win with Jordan Bell. You won't win a division with Jordan Bell. You won't win a championship with Jordan Bell.
Well,
and for the fans that say it's only February, you know what? You were saying the same thing in December. This team has to get it together. I don't care what their record is. They have to get it together, and they have to get it together now.
All right.
Because if you look at the way that they played against the top teams, they've been awful. I love Kerr, but Jordan Bell isn't the answer. If he's the answer, then I've got questions, and the Warrior appreciates your time.
All right, man. Good stuff. Oh, he went third person on me. The Warrior appreciates your time.
Can't do it.
Thank you. I will say this, though. There was a lot to digest there. I was still kind of taking all that in. First of all, appreciate the call at 888-957-9570. Jordan Bell clearly has not earned the trust of Steve Kerr. So, Warrior, I think you're good there. Now, I should... In defense of Jordan Bell, I think it is fair to point out he said you can't win a title with Jordan Bell. Pretty sure Jordan Bell was on the roster last year. So, actually, you can. Now, I think what he meant was you can't win a title with Jordan Bell being out there at the end of close basketball games as a closer. And, yes, I saw the same thing. Jordan Bell, a reluctance to shoot the ball. I almost feel like Steve Kerr, and they were talking about this on the broadcast, Tim Roy was, and Jim Barnett, that Jordan Bell, it seems there's been an edict passed down from Steve Kerr to maybe not quite try and be as aggressive offensively. I don't know that. I think Jordan Bell needs to be an energy guy. He needs to be a defensive guy. He needs to think pass first. I do agree with that. I think he needs to rely on his athleticism and be that youthful spark, that guy that we saw early in his tenure last year. But you have to sustain that on a game-in and game-out basis. And I get it for Jordan Bell. It's tough because he's not getting a lot of playing time. And, I mean, you think about it. I remember that game in Indiana a couple of weeks ago when the Warriors blew him out. It was end of January, and Bell played 19 minutes, was 4-5, looked pretty good. And it was like, hey, Jordan Bell, best game he's played in a while. 5 rebounds, 4 dimes, had a block, had a steal in that game. And then they come home to play Philly. A couple of days later, Jordan Bell doesn't play. And then a couple nights later, they play the Lakers. Jordan Bell plays 2 minutes. And so it is hard in his defense. It is hard to get that traction and get that momentum when your minutes are sporadic. Such is the plight of the bench player and the like eighth or ninth player on the depth chart on any roster in the NBA, but particularly this roster where they are so star latent. And on a nightly basis, there really isn't going to be much of a cause for you. And the other byproduct of the Warriors not blowing teams the hell out the way that they have in Kerr, under Kerr in years past, it asks Steph Curry and Kevin Durant and Draymond to do more of the heavy lifting. But the byproduct of that is the bench guys don't get as much run. I mean, the fourth quarter used to belong to the bench. But if you're in close games or you're losing to the Rockets yet again in the fourth quarter, you can't play your guys, your bench guys, because your starters have to be out there. So that's the trickle-down effect. of the Warriors not putting teams to the sword the way that they once did. I want to get to this cut from Klay Thompson. This is with Mindy Bach, because we talked about the difference between February and then playoffs. And I will always tell you that in May and June, it's not going to matter that the Warriors lost this game to the Rockets last night. Now, I get it. We're looking for themes and big picture. They haven't been at their best. I'm not going to argue that with you. But is there going to be any correlation between the fact they lost last night and how they play in May and June? Not so sure. I say no. Klay Thompson with Mindy Bach from ABC. Here's Klay.
I know that losses are part of the season. No team's going to go undefeated. But is this loss a little more frustrating because the Rockets are a team that the Warriors have had a hard time just getting over that hump over these past two regular seasons?
Yeah, but guess what? We haven't had a tough problem getting over the hump during the playoffs, so yeah. I'm not too worried. It did suck that we lost, but end of the day, we are still in first place, and we control our own destiny.
First of all, I love you, Klay Thompson. That Mindy Bach, of course, from ABC post-game last night. And yes, we were talking in the other room during the break when I previewed that cut. Was this the NFL? Was there 2 weeks to play and you got a one-game lead in the division? You control your own destiny, or you're fighting for that wild card spot in the AFC? And if you win out, you're in. You're controlling your own destiny. All Joe Flacco needs to do is put it together the last 2 weeks for the Ravens, and they're going. Oh, excuse me, Lamar Jackson nowadays, because Flacco's out of there. Yeah, they control their own destiny. I'd say they do. We got Jessica. All right, let's shift gears. Time to talk a little B-ball. Jessica, first of all, good morning. And I just announced, I don't know if you heard this, we had some breaking news. I announced on 95.7 The Game that Bryce Harper will play baseball in 2019, and he will do it for financial compensation. So we can tell you that definitively. Outside of that, we don't have anything else to report. How are you?
Wow, that's some breaking news. I have to actually get off the phone with you and write something up now. Wow.
I'm sorry. This is in reaction to the Bob Nightingale tweet that he's expected to sign Monday. And we've seen so much come out. Bryce Harper expected to do this, expected to do that. And then it just never actually happened. So the only thing that you can expect is that he'll probably play baseball this season, and he'll probably do it in the majors. I mean, other than that, like, what else do we know at this point?
I feel like it's more of a question than ever. Obviously, you know, I'm very much pro him coming to play for the Giants for a multitude of reasons. But at this point, I have no idea where he's going to end up playing. And I think we're all over it at this point. We're like, okay, figure it out. Let's get this done. And I'm pretty sure he has a similar mentality as well. But then you have this other report saying Craig Kimbrell's willing to sit out this season. And I'm worried that that trend's going to pick up in the next few seasons, whether it's a strike or these players actually just saying, screw it, man. Like, if nobody wants me, and or they're not going to listen to what my needs are financially and long-term deal, I'm just going to sit this one out. So yeah. At this point, I have no idea, Ryan.
Yeah, and we keep hearing it's probably the Phillies, but maybe the Giants, maybe the Padres. Let me ask you this, Jessica. With Bryce Harper coming available at a time that he did, and while there's free agents every year that can help your squad, I think we can all agree that Bryce Harper is special in the sense that he's 26. He's on a Hall of Fame track, if not on the Hall of Fame track, very close. He could be a difference maker. And guys like this don't always hit free agency at 26 years old. So clearly this is an opportunity to add a special player for a long time to come. But the timing isn't necessarily great in the sense that you just brought in a new president of baseball ops. The team's done a lot of losing the last 2.5 years. Conventional wisdom would tell you that maybe a rebuild is in their best interest in restocking the farm system and maybe not just going out and adding a guy for 10 years and $300+ million to play right field. It just seems to me like it's kind of a square peg round hole scenario just because of where the Giants are at right now as a franchise.
Yeah, and I agree to that to a certain extent. And I'm, of course, being extremely optimistic. And, you know, just I feel that Bryce Harper is the man who could honestly save baseball. And I feel like that's a lot of pressure to put on someone. But, you know, coming from a demographic where I'm literally not the demographic of these baseball fans, I think he can kind of change it. He's been in the league long enough to know that you should respect the game. but he's also not been in the league long enough to know where you have to have some fun. You have to be spicy. You need to be a little bit more flamboyant and outspoken and do all this stuff. And he's really screwing with the fans right now. Him and Antonio Brown, you know, what they're doing on social media, you're kind of like watching. I know this because literally for a living, I have to stalk these players' social media accounts. You know, Bryce Harper comments on a Reese Hoskins Instagram post. Oh, that means he's going to the Phillies.
Sure.
He, you know, put an emoji up in San Francisco and guess he's going to play for the Giants. So it's just difficult. It's a weird time in sports. And I want people to kind of pay attention to that. But it's also weird because there, as time has gone on, there's no loyalty. Like I felt like he could live his entire life in the Washington, D.C. area. That doesn't necessarily mean he's going to go play for the Nationals. It's going to be a monetary thing. And that's sometimes we can't bash on that. But the Giants, you're right. They are in this rebuilding phase. But and when you have Farhan Zaidi, who's not going to be making these outlandish deals, it could be something that if it does happen, it's something that we're kind of staring at like, okay, well, he means business or he's not afraid to spend money. You know, growing up an A's fan, I'm not used to seeing any sort of money being spent. So what they're doing, I'm not, you know, I'm kind of used to. But I wouldn't kind of necessarily count it out because of the fact that, I mean, look at the Padres. They are in a rebuilding phase, but they signed Eric Hosmer last year. They obviously signed Machado and everything like that. And they're even looking at Hosmer saying like, wow, if we didn't give that guy all that money, we could have had both a Bryce Harper and a Machado. So that rebuilding thing didn't work in their situation. So I could see Zaidi being a little bit hesitant. Yeah. Obviously has been meetings with Bear and the front office people, and people that don't go to these meetings showed up to try to convince Harper to come to the Giants. And that's no surprise, but he wants that long-term deal. Unfortunately, I don't know if it's because he wants to be on a team stably for the next decade, which is totally understandable. But at the same time, it's more or less it's going to be a money issue. So it doesn't matter what team he plays on. It doesn't matter if he really likes the city of San Francisco. It's going to be the team that can afford him the most. Giants are doing weird stuff right now. I mean, the signings aren't happening. I don't know if they're waiting for this big punch, but you're right. It's a rebuilding thing, but that can go anyway.
Yeah, talking to Jessica Kleinschmidt on 95.7 The Game, Ryan Covey with you on a Sunday morning. Did Machado go into the Padres? Did that surprise you? And when you look at the way the Padres are positioned, they've got, you know, Tatis, they've got all these terrific prospects, and a 10-year deal, look, okay, so they don't compete in 2019. I mean, really, who cares? A 10-year deal, you're hoping you're going to be able to compete at some point, and it looks like the Padres, that time could be coming sooner than later, and it also isn't quite the media hotbed that other areas are, even in, like, Chicago, where, you know, the White Sox were courting him. San Diego seems like a pretty chill place to play ball, and they've got a ton of young prospects, and it looks like they could be good for years to come, so I see it to that side of it, but I don't know. It just seemed like that wasn't where I had Manny Machado ending up. It just seems like kind of a strange fit. What'd you make of it?
I wasn't that surprised, only because if you talk to anybody, whether they're a baseball player, softball player, anything, or just a human being, would love to live in San Diego, right? So I feel like that's certainly something that sure could have been played into account. But that's ultimately what it felt like it was. It just felt like if you're talking about the future for San Diego, sure. I mean, they're one of the greatest farm systems to watch, and I say that because I've watched them like dominate in the PCL. But at the same time, at the end of the day, just felt like, oh, well, who wouldn't want to live in San Diego? That's what it felt like. Well, isn't there anything else? You know, like, okay, cool. San Diego's dope. Wow. But is that it?
Right.
That's what that felt like. And that kind of broke my heart. Like, okay, cool. It's a great place to live, but are we going to win a World Series? Probably not. And if we do, it won't be for a while. So it's just that element really left a bad taste in my mouth. And like, people don't like Manny Machado, and that kind of put the cherry on top for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously there was no loyalty is there. Players themselves had told me they don't like playing with him. So it just kind of added to that. But yeah, I don't know. I wasn't that surprised, but I also was like, okay, well, are these dominoes going to fall? And the dominoes didn't fall. There's still people that are not signed big
totally
names, you know, so it's kind of weird. But at the end of the day, it didn't really feel like it was a great signing from, I guess, a futuristic perspective. It was like, cool, a lot of money, and it's San Diego. That's what it felt like.
Jessica, I know you love the sport of Major League Baseball. The narrative is out there that baseball needs to, quote, fix itself and streamline the games, and whether it's pitch clocks, whatever, and to make the game more appealing to the younger crowd. I kind of come from it. Look, these type of things, there's ebbs and flows to all of it. And I think that baseball definitely lacks like a certain star power. And like you said, maybe Bryce Harper could be that guy, but he's already been in the majors for what, 7 years. So to that end, how much of a problem do you think baseball has long term keeping its popularity and kind of bringing in that next generation of fans? And do you think they need to make changes in that respect to make the game a little more streamlined and a little more, I don't know, a little spicier?
I feel like I don't know if I'm the best person to ask or the worst. It's a weird thing because you know I'm obsessed with the sport. You said so yourself. And I know people don't look at it the same way I do. But I feel like I'm kind of in the middle where I love the social media aspect. I love how we can watch these guys make these web gem plays over and over again. But also, if there's too much of that crap, you're not going to remember the greatness that baseball is. You're not going to remember that these great, you know, even the steroid era. I feel like it's a weird scenario that these young kids don't understand. And they're like, oh, well, they did steroids. And it's weird because if you look at like the people who vote for the Hall of Fame, these young people that are getting, you know, being brought in after 10 years are kind of gearing or shifting toward letting these guys in. But there's also a lot of young people who don't understand what PEDs are. And they think, oh, Barry Bonds took a pill and he hit 762 bombs over the fence. And it's like, okay, well, you wouldn't know that stat if it wasn't for the fact that we are reminding you. And that saved baseball. Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa are the reason why I started paying attention to baseball.
Right.
So these cool things that happened are, they may have been illegal, but people need to understand that it's not always going to be like, oh, I injected myself and balls went over the fence. It's not how it works. So it's difficult to find a happy medium, right? Where you want the funness, you want all those home runs, but you're hitting all these home runs too. And that means you're also striking out a bunch.
Right.
So that's hard to find, to even those out. Aaron Judge is going to hit the long ball, but him and Giancarlo are going to be striking out a ton.
Sure.
And so you're going to gain a lot and then lose a lot. So unfortunately, it doesn't matter what they do. Those types of scenarios are going to happen more and more as these, whether it's the juiced balls or they're finding out ways to get around steroids or obviously not doing steroids and just finding other ways to hit the crap out of the ball. It's just not going to change. And I think it has a lot to do with word of mouth. If I tell James Smith that baseball is boring, James is probably going to believe me. And that's what ultimately it comes down to. If you remind people that something is this way, they're going to believe you. So people need to stop saying that.
All right, fair enough. Got you. The more people hit on it, the more that narrative stays alive, even whether there's validity to it or not. I get what you're saying. All right, Jessica, appreciate your time. Thank you so much. This was our inaugural journey on 95.7. It's good to catch up with you.
Have a good one.
All right, take care. Jessica Klein-Schmidt on 95.7 The Game. Ryan Covey with you on a Sunday morning. And look, Bryce Harper, I've already gone on record and said, yeah, sign Bryce Harper. You got a huge hole in right field, right? You're not the A's. You're not the Marlins. You're not the Rays. You got big money. You're the Giants. You just got all that money for renaming your field Oracle Park. You want to play in the big boy pool? Put on your big boy trunks. Hell yeah, sign Bryce Harper. Oh, but Ryan, they're not going to be competing for a World Series this year. Yeah, and? He's coming for 10 years. He's 26. I went back and looked at the numbers, and the numbers are very telling offensively. Bryce Harper is basically Ken Griffey Jr. from an offensive production, their first 927 games into the league. It's staggering how close how similar those numbers are. So offensively, and I didn't compare him to Ken Griffey Jr. defensively, but offensively, they're basically the same guy. All right, we got a lot to get to. Top of the hour, Tim Reynolds from the AP is going to join us. And we will talk about the current state of the NBA. Kyrie had some comments last week that were pretty funny about the notion of the media destroying locker rooms and coming between players. We'll get into that. We can also react to anything Jessica said from a Major League Baseball front, as this is Bruce Bochy's final year. And then a little bit later on, we'll check in with Anthony Slater, our Warriors insider. Plus, special treat for you. We'll play Puff Puff Pass a little bit later on as well. So you're going to want to stick around. This is 95.7 The Game.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
What's happening, everybody? Happy Sunday to you. Ryan Covey with you. As you just heard, this is 95.7 The Game. If you're out running around doing your errands right now, you got that honey-do list. Knock it out, baby. We'll take you all the way up to noon. In just a few moments, Tim Reynolds from the AP, who does a great job covering the NBA, is going to join us on 95.7. And then at 11 o'clock, we'll go dub-centric with Anthony Slater. And then we have a special treat for you. You have to stay tuned in the 11 o'clock hour for a special segment that we will be rolling out for you on 95.7 The Game today. A little something we like to call Puff Puff Pass. So hang around for that. Boy, what a strange time in the NBA. And Warriors fans, if you're up in arms about the Warriors losing on a Saturday night to the Houston Rockets and you say, oh, what's going on with the Dubs? My goodness, they're 6-3 in their last nine. Is this the end of the ride? Blah, 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 blah. Just understand that, A, this is like NBA fantasy land, all of this. None of this is real. None of this is really happening, even though it is. And you think the Warriors got a few issues right now? Why don't you look around the rest of the NBA? The Boston Celtics rolled into Chi-Town and got beat by 10 by the Bulls. And I know the Bulls with Markin and Levine, they've been playing better lately. That's great. The Boston Celtics should be in, hey, we're trying to gain ground in the Western or in the Eastern Conference. We want to move up. Milwaukee has been running away with this thing. You look at the standings right now, Bucks got a game and a half lead on the Raptors, 5.5 on the Pacers. Celtics now 8.5 games off the pace. 8.5. Coming into the season, I think most people would have told you, who are the two biggest threats in the Eastern Conference with LeBron now in the West? It's got to be the Celtics and the Sixers, right? I mean, we don't know what the Raptors were going to be with Kawhi Leonard, and we don't know what the Raptors will do in the playoffs because basically the Raptors choke in the playoffs every year. So the Celtics, I mean, they got Kyrie, they got Jaylen Brown, they got Tatum, they got Horford. It's got to be them, right? Okay. They're 37-23. They're 27-12 in the conference. The Boston Celtics are a sub-500 team on the road. They're 14-15 away from home. Teams that go sub-500 on the road don't scare me in seven-game series. They just don't. What about the Philadelphia 76ers? Hey, trust the process, Embiid, Simmons. So what that the Fultz thing was a disaster? Doesn't matter. Hey, they went out and traded for Jimmy Butler. Philadelphia 76ers? The Blazers whooped up on them last night. And yeah, the Blazers been playing some better hoop lately. My point is, this happens in the NBA. And if you're going to sit here and tell me that the Warriors aren't the favorite and they're going to have their come to Jesus moment in the postseason and this all has the potential to blow up in their face and it could all go wrong, all right, who's beating them then? The Nuggets? Come on. One more time? Oh, okay, sorry. Thank you. All right, here's Kyrie. Last night, we saw the Celtics lose in Chi-Town. But yet, Kyrie still banging the drum. And keep in mind, wasn't it Jason Tatum that guaranteed? Oh, it's the quote. Okay, I'm sorry. Kyrie Irving said he didn't see anybody beating the Celtics in seven games, despite their struggles. This after they lost to the Bulls last night. Okay, Kyrie. This is on the heels of, I think it was Jason Tatum. It was Brown. I think it was Tatum that said he guaranteed the Celtics were going to win the title this year. Come on, man. Why don't you at least prove to me that you can win the East? Okay? Which, by the way, hasn't happened under Brad Stevens.
Cocaine is a hell of a drug.
Thank you. I mean, seriously. Tatum confirmed. Thank you. Tatum confirmed. From the other side of the glass. Thanks, guys. See, I was right. Mm-hmm. I did say that. So, until the Boston Celtics can, you know, beat the Bulls in Chicago, you know, trash-ass Bulls, or until that they show that they can be a positive 500 team on the road, why don't you save the bold proclamations, Kyrie? Actually, go ahead. Run your mouth. Who cares? It just says, there's no upside for that. The only way that you can validate that is by winning the title. And guess what? You should probably be so excited that you just won the NBA title that you shouldn't really feel compelled. Like, your first order of business shouldn't be to hark back on a quote that you said in February and be like, see, I told y'all. I told you we were going to do it. So other than that, like, what's the allure of making a proclamation like that? Oh, he's confident. No. That you don't guarantee it. You say, our mission is to win the NBA title. I believe we can win the NBA title. I'm going to do everything in my power to show that we are the favorite to win the NBA title. I believe in my heart of hearts that we're going to win the NBA title. But this whole guarantee, nah, that's a bad look. You don't see anybody beating the Celtics in seven games, huh? Well, I'm looking at your body of work this year, Kyrie. For you personally and your team, I'm not so convinced. I see a team with a lot of bad losses. At Charlotte, they've lost to the Knicks this year. They've lost to Phoenix, lost at Detroit, at Miami, at Orlando, at Brooklyn. Lost to the Lakers, lost to the Clippers, just lost to the Bulls. And these are recent losses. Oh, but nobody's going to beat him in a seven-game series. How'd that work out for you last year? Everybody want to talk tough now that LeBron's over in the West. Bet you wouldn't have said that when Debo lived in the neighborhood. When Debo James lived in the neighborhood. Stealing your bike and your chain. No chance. When did Kyrie get so soft? Seriously. I used to love Kyrie. Even though he killed the Warriors a couple years ago, you got to respect the hustle, right? Just so nice on the dribble, breaking guys down. Kyrie, I think it all started when he claimed that the earth was flat. That was that line in the sand moment. Kyrie just has been out of pocket ever since. He's been scrambling. Like, he caught a right hook to the chin when he said that, and he's been rattled ever since, and he's been in a defensive posture ever since. He's no longer the dude that hit a three to beat the Dubs and win a title. And if, trust me, if you hear Kyrie tell it, he never got any credit for that in the first place. LeBron got all the credit. All right, we got that sound from Kyrie postgame. Let's hear it from old Earth Flat conspiracy theorist himself, Kyrie Irving. Go ahead.
You know, it is what it is. Like I said, I don't get frustrated about this stuff anymore. It's just part of the regular season, you know, in the playoffs, when we could plan for a team, prepare for a team. You know, I still don't see anybody beating us in seven games.
The difference between the Klay Thompson sound that we heard with Mindy Bock saying, hey, we'll worry about the playoffs when we get there. There's two very important differences in all this. Klay Thompson and the Golden State Warriors have been there and done that. Kyrie Irving did it, but it was with the Cavaliers. This Celtics team, they never done that. So to sell that narrative, a lot easier for me to hear it come out of Klay Thompson's mouth that, hey, we still believe we're the best team in a four games, beating us four times out of seven, still not happening. And I'll bet on us every time. For Kyrie to say it, it just sounds to me like fake hustle. It sounds a little disingenuous. So, Warriors fans, I'm trying to make you feel a little better as you're riding around here. It is Ryan Covey with you on 95.7 The Game. Chilton Autobody text line 95795. When did Kyrie get so soft?
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.